Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life challenges with you and then bring you some good news in the morning. This program is brought to you by Good News Christian Ministries. You can find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And there you can hear past episodes and find interesting articles. And if you find this ministry helpful for your spiritual journey, then you can find ways to support us at the website as well. This morning, what I want to talk to you about is life in the penalty box. I want to read you a letter that was received by Reverend Erwin Lutzer of Moody Church. It was written to him after he had preached a message on the radio. It read, "I am 31 and divorced, though I fought the divorce bitterly. I feel badly because I have no hope for the future. Often I go home from church and cry, and there is no one to hold me when I cry. No one cares. What hurts most is that I beg God to be single for his glory and to fix my eyes on Jesus, but nothing changes. I continue to fail. I'm a basket case emotionally and on the verge of collapse. Something is so very wrong. I'm so crippled and embittered that I can scarcely relate to others anymore. I feel like I will have to sit the rest of my life out in the penalty box." Have you ever been there? Maybe it was because you made a wrong financial decision. Maybe you have a bad marriage. Maybe you did something wrong and people won't let you forget it. They won't forgive it. And maybe it was a wrong career choice or a wrong relationship choice, or maybe you feel like society has put you in the penalty box. You feel that because of the economy and the national debt, and you have no hope of ever attaining to the level of economic security that your parents had. You feel that no matter what you do, you can't get out of the penalty box. The penalty box is something that Moses was familiar with. In Exodus chapter 1, 2, and 3, we hear the story of how Pharaoh was worried about how the Hebrew slaves were in Egypt. It was there were so many of them that if there was ever an insurrection, they might toss the Egyptians out of their own land. So he gave the order that all male Hebrew children born were to be killed. But Moses' mother hid him in a basket made of bulrushes when he was 3 months old. And in that basket, he was shoved out into the river, and he was found by an Egyptian princess. Moses was raised in the palace as an Egyptian pharaoh for the first 40 years of his life. And we remember later on how he stood up to the pharaoh and he led the people out of Egypt. We remember how he was allowed to go to the mountain of God and talk with God. And he received the Ten Commandments directly from God. And he was a great leader and a strong general and a wise counselor and a man of God. But sandwiched in between the 40 years in the palace and the 40 years of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, there were 40 years that Moses spent on the backside of the wilderness just tending sheep. I want you to get the picture of this. Moses, since the time he was two or three, was brought up in a palace like a pharaoh. Egypt at the time was probably the most powerful nation in all the world. The pharaoh was the ruler of that nation. Moses would have been schooled in the temple of the sun. He would have been taught hieroglyphics, astronomy, math, and chemistry. He would have been given every advantage that the civilization of that time had to offer. In fact, Josephus, who was a historian in ancient Rome, tells us that Moses rose to be the second most powerful person in all of Egypt. When Moses rode through the streets of Egypt, there were probably soldiers that went before him calling out to bend the knee, Moses is coming, Moses is coming. And as he rode by, mothers would point at him and tell their son, there goes Big Mo, be like him. For some reason, Moses knew he was special. Maybe it was because of his upbringing, maybe because of the Holy Spirit of God working in his life. Whatever the case, he knew he was called. Well, one day is recorded in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Moses was out for a walk, and while he was walking, he saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating up on a Hebrew slave. The Bible says that Moses looked this way and that, and then killed the Egyptian. Before this incident with the taskmaster, Moses' destiny was looking pretty good. He was a prince. He had power. He had prestige. But God had a plan, and it wasn't for Moses to rule Egypt. The next day, Moses was out for a walk, and he saw two Hebrews arguing together. So Moses tries to be the peacemaker. They, however, turn on Moses and say, "Are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian?" Moses knew then that the word was out. Pharaoh tried to kill him, and Moses had to flee Egypt. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 25, has an interesting commentary on this. He says, "And Moses supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand." Moses figured that once the people knew that he was on their side, that they would rally around him and that he could deliver them. Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought people would understand, especially God's people, and they didn't? You can understand when the people of the world don't understand, but you expect the people of God to see what you're doing, and you're doing God's work, but they just can't see it. So Moses has to go off running to the country of Midian. Midian is on the backside of the desert. He is in the wilderness for 40 years, tending sheep in obscurity, life in the penalty box. This isn't a horrible destiny, but compared with what he had, this isn't really great. And he was there for 40 years. 40 years. But God had a plan, even when his life seemed to be on hold. There are some things that one can only learn in the wilderness. It was in the wilderness that Moses learned to serve. It was in the wilderness that Moses learned to obey. It was in the wilderness that he learned about the wilderness, and later on he would lead the people of God through the wilderness. And then one day he was walking on the backside of the wilderness, and he runs into a bush that is burning but not consumed. And there he hears the voice of God. God calls to Moses and says, "Go to Pharaoh and say, 'Let my people go.'" But Moses argued with God. He gave every excuse he could think of. "I'm not the leader type. I stutter. I wouldn't know what to say to the people. People won't believe me." God calls, but Moses wouldn't heed the call. Finally, Moses relents, and he goes. You see, God had a plan. Moses leads his people out of slavery. This wasn't Moses' plan. This was God's plan. Moses brings the Ten Commandments from God to the world. This wasn't Moses' plan. This was God's plan. And Moses changed the course of history. Moses had a plan to change Egypt. God had a plan to change the world. Even in the wilderness, Moses fulfilled his destiny. I would have you notice that Moses was only able to step into his destiny because he encountered God. And he followed the call of God. We're going to listen to some music by Jars of Clay. "God Will Lift Up Your Head."
Yeah. clouds and storms, it gently clears the way. Wakers in his time, so shall this night soon end in joy. 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 Soon end in joy.
Welcome back. This morning we are talking about life in the penalty box. You know that sometimes we end up in the penalty box and, well, we know we deserve to be there. If we had to do it over again, we would certainly do things differently. But we get very few do-overs in life. Now we have to live with our choices and we do not like where our choices have taken us. Let me tell you another story from the Bible. Over the generations, the people of God had an on-again, off-again relationship with God. When they were on, they honored the word of God. They obeyed the commands of God. They followed the ways of God. And God blessed them. He blessed them with peace in the land. He blessed them with abundance in so many different ways. When they were off again, they worshiped idols. They made sacrifices to them. The land was filled with injustice. Power trumped what was right and what was good. And from the kings to the peasants, people refused to acknowledge the Lord. When this happens, the country's enemies ran over them. They were oppressed. Life was hard. And then, after the oppression and during the oppression, they would call out to the Lord, and the Lord, being who he is, was merciful. And for a time, their relationship with God would be on again. And, well, a series of kings, a number of generations after King David, were on again, off again, and a lot of them were just off again. God sent prophet after prophet, warning after warning. God, through his prophets, would say, turn back to me, love justice, do what is right, honor me. However, they would not. They would not heed the call of God. God warned them time and again what would happen. They would not listen. Finally, God allowed the Babylonians, the world power at the time, to come and conquer the city of Jerusalem. The walls were destroyed. The city was destroyed. The people from the city were carted off as servants to the Babylonian Empire. Life in Babylon was not hard, but it was not home either. They were given jobs, meaningful jobs, but their talents were being used to build a country that was not their own. They were devastated with their plight. God and his temple seemed to be remote, back in Jerusalem. Life in the penalty box. And they knew that they deserved to be there. Well, God sent a prophet by the name of Jeremiah to deliver a message to his people. God tells his people, seek peace and pursue the prosperity of the city that you're exiled to. If the city prospers, you will too. But they're in a foreign land and they're with a different language and they can work, but they'll always probably be second-class citizens. Have you ever felt like your life was on hold? Have you ever felt like you were working hard but you were not getting you anywhere? If you have, then you can identify with the people of God and what who he was writing to. And here's what God says to his people. They feel like they're in the penalty box. They know they're there because of choices that they've made. But here's what God says in Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. They deserve to be in the penalty box. But even there, God says, I know the plans I have for you, and they're good. It is one thing for you to say, I have a life plan. I plan to go to school and graduate and move back home to my home city and get a job. It's one thing for you to say, I have a strategy, I have a plan. It is a whole other thing for the God of the universe to say, I have a purpose and I have a plan for you. For when God says, I have a plan, that is a destiny. Well, let me fast forward to the New Testament. Jesus has come. He's lived the perfect life. He's died. He's ascended back into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit and the church has been formed. And the Apostle Paul is writing the church and he says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself, it's a gift from God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul says God has given you an unmerited free gift. It comes through faith. It is the gift of knowing God. It is the gift of walking in relationship with God. It's what he calls being saved. If you've never given your life to Jesus, then I want you to know that God wants to give you this free gift. You can receive him into your life. But then Paul goes on to say this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, what God has prepared in advance for us to do. Before you were born, before you were a Christian, God says, I have been creating. I've been creating a unique position with unique opportunities for you to do good works, great works. God says, I have a plan for you. I have created you uniquely you. I have created you with a purpose in mind. In other words, you have a destiny. Here's the other thing that you need to know about fulfilling your destiny. You can make all sorts of mistakes, and God can still get you to where he wants you to be. Moses made all kinds of mistakes. He even murdered someone. And yet God was able to get him to where he needed to be, to do what he needed to do. The people of God made all kinds of mistakes, and yet God says, I have a plan for you, and it is good. I know there are all kinds of people who wonder if they've been too bad for God. I want you to know that you can fulfill your destiny even if you made a lot of mistakes. God has a plan. But here's what I also want you to know. You can't fulfill your destiny without following the call of God. When God calls, you need to move with God. The first call God will make is for you to receive his son Jesus into your life. He wants to forgive you of your sin and give you his life. He wants to turn you to turn the steering wheel of your life over to him. That is the way to enter into a relationship with God. The way to do that is by prayer, a simple prayer. Lord, I believe that you died and rose again. I believe that you took my sin upon yourself on the cross. Please forgive me of all that I have ever done wrong. I invite you into my life. I give you the steering wheel of my life. I want you to guide me. I want to follow you. A simple prayer like that, trust that the God will do what he said he would do, and that he will do what you've asked him to do, sets in motion God's plans for you. Jesus comes into your life. He forgives you your sin. He makes you a child of God. Many of you have received Jesus into your life. I want you to know that you also need to follow God's call. Now, I know that there are a lot of people freaked out. What if I don't hear God? That's not what you ought to be worried about. See, God is big enough that if he needs to use a burning bush to get your attention, he can. It is the stuff that you know you need to do but don't want to do, like Moses, that you have to be concerned about. So those are the kind of things that are the roadblocks that get in your way. Those are the kind of things that derail a destiny. You see, the purpose of life is not to arrive at death's door safely. Some of us have mistaken the comfortable life for the blessed life. Following God's way is not always comfortable, but it is good. Our life is not all about us. Our life has a greater purpose than just comfortable survival. I don't know what your destiny is, but of this I'm sure. God has a plan for your life. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he planned for you in advance to do. For some of you, that may mean finding a creative means to share the gospel here or around the world. For others, of you, it may mean using your business savvy to create ethical production chains for companies so that the stuff we buy won't be made by de facto slaves. For others of you, your destiny may be an intricate part of God's plan to fight against human slavery or against poverty or against oppression or against injustice. For others of you, you may feel called to do what you can to help change the plight of the Aboriginals in northern Canada or the plight of 1,000 other communities all around the world who are living in dehumanizing ways. For others of you, you may be called right where you are to help see others see the goodness of God. It may be helping a neighbor. It may be coming alongside a person who needs your help right now. See, God has a plan. He has work for you to do. Hear the word of the Lord to you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope for a future. Hear the word of the Lord. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on him. The Lord longs to be gracious to you, so wait on him. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for our listeners. And thank you, Lord, for the plan that you have for their life. I pray, Lord, that as they hear these words, your words, that you would stir within them a desire to follow after your call. Lord, that for those who have yet to receive you into their life, that they would do that now. For those who are following after you, that they would be obedient to what you've called them to be. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for your words of encouragement and keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith, and if you can help with that, go to the website and you can find ways to donate there, or you can make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries, and you can send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. If Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your journey of faith, we would love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more in that work. You can contact us by email or by Twitter via the website. My prayer for you is this. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding love. We're going to go out this morning, listen to one of the great hymns of the faith.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.